this time. God wants to make a difference in people's lives. Many people are discouraged and they're frustrated with the difficulties that they're facing in life right now. And I want to read a prophetic word from one of my friends, Greg Raley. He's a minister. He's like me. He does apostle-type work and prophetic work in the kingdom. And he has a ministry in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina. And he has ministered for me down in Miami in the past. I ministered for him in South Carolina years ago. But he had a word from the Lord. He said, I heard the Lord say, keep doing what my word says to do. Putting all of your trust and confidence in me and my sovereign plan. How many know that God has a sovereign plan for your life? He said, praise me radically, for praise silences your enemies and stops him in his tracks. The Avenger, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of angel armies. I have dispatched all of heaven's resources on this day for my power to be seen in glorious array and on display. I, the Lord God of power and might, will roar from the heavens, putting the enemy to flight. I am the King of glory. You know, that's Psalms 24. He is the King of glory. The Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, everlasting doors, that he, the King of glory, may come in, dwelling in your most midst, seated on the throne, the foundation of which is righteousness and justice, executing the judgments already written, ruling over all the works of the enemy. So know deliverance. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for I have got this one. In the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of my wings. Sing songs of joy, hallelujah, for the great I am. Still is there anything too hard for me? With the blast of my nostrils, the seas rolled back, and with one word, all of creation came into being. I rained hailstones upon the enemies of Joshua, causing the sun to stand still for the course of a day. And I was on display to destroy his enemies. I took Gideon's small band of 300 and slaughtered their enemies. I took one stone in a slingshot and fell the mocking giant Goliath for David. I took Jehoshaphat's army into battle against three enemies, requiring they show up. Believe me and my prophets, radically declare my greatness in song, and their enemies, communication systems, jammed because of praise. You know, the enemy hates praise. He hates worship. So when you praise the Lord, the devil goes on the run. And he says, declare my greatness in song, and their enemies, communication systems, jammed because of praise, destroying one another. Jehoshaphat's army was 3 days in gathering the spoils of victory. I filled the mountains and the hills with horses and chariots of fire to deliver my people and be faithful to my prophets. I am the same God on high. There is no other God like Jehovah. It's not by might nor by power, but by my dunamis, my dynamics, power of my spirit, says your God. Selah. But in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, it says, for all, everybody say all. He says, for all the promises of God in him, in Jesus Christ, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. God likes to do things with us. He likes to walk with us. He likes to talk with us. When Enoch was walking with God, he took him. He just literally took him. He loved him so much. He was a man that was just full of faith. Moses, he stuttered because he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert in Ethiopia because the Egyptians tried to kill him. And he came back and he couldn't even hardly speak Hebrew or Egyptian. He was speaking some language, dialect from down there, I'm sure. So he stumbled over his words and probably had a different accent. Can you imagine if you moved to England for 50 years or something? You wouldn't sound like us up here anymore. You'd be talking a little bit different. Well, anyway, God has a plan. And it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's somebody like Moses who ran because he killed somebody, or whether it's somebody like Abraham who left his family and came to a foreign land because God said so, or somebody like Lot that was in a God-forsaken place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and God rescued Lot and his family out of the city of Sodom. I mean, God just is doing things all the time. He's interested in you. He's interested in what you're going through. He's interested in what you're facing. God is there. He's available. Now, let's go on over to Matthew 17. We're going to look at a little story here today. And that's primarily where we're going to stay. But we see here in Matthew 17 and verse 21, it says, however. Now, I'm going to read you the story before the however. However is like therefore, or but and. You know, they're all conjunctive. They bring you from one thing to the answer. They might provide you with the story and the question, then it gives you the answer. But he says here in the answer, I'm going to give you the answer before you get the question. I'm going to give you the solution before you understand the problem. He says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, I'm going to tell you, back when I was working for Vernon Kinnear, just after Lucy and I got married in 1984 into 85. Well, we fasted during the first week of 1985. And it's so crazy because, you know, I was just wanting to grow. And there was a man in the church after this time of fasting, a week or so later, the lay leader, that's what they call the top board member in the Methodist Church, Dave Campbell, he called me and said, Brother Kevin, can you help me pray for this man? George, who was in the church, said he has some demonic spirits that he's dealing with. And you can imagine, most people can tell if they got a demonic spirit. Now, demonic spirits can be because of somebody being involved in the occult. It could be because of witchcraft in their family. It could be because of rebellion. You know, see, an enemy can only come in when a door is opened. So if a door gets opened, maybe through maybe alcoholism or maybe through drug addiction. You know, they say Hitler was on drugs. And he also practiced witchcraft and had crystal ball and had all this going on. He was a very evil, evil man. He was possessed by the devil, I believe. He was a notorious, murderous, you know, person in the history of this world. He hated the Jews. He hated Christians. He hated, really, God, you could say. His God was not the God, Lord Jehovah, but his God was the God of this world, system, who is the devil. And, you know, there's so many evil things occur in this world today. And so, make a long story short, there's many different ways the enemy comes in. Well, George had lived a wild lifestyle before he came to know Jesus. And he started attending the church. He had a little boy, and he brought the little boy to church. And he spent time, you know, doing things that I won't even tell you, but they were, you know, very evil. And so Dave said, George really wants to be free of this. He wants deliverance. And so, lo and behold, I go over and we meet with George and we're praying over him. And I'm telling you the truth. He had this curly hair, but when we began to pray in the name of Jesus, his hair went, I mean, like electricity hit it. You ever go outside and, you know, it's been so dry and it's cold, and then the hair on your arm stand up? Well, his hair stood up, and guess what? My hair began to stand up on the back of my neck. I was a young man. I was 26 years old, thanking God. I've never seen anything like this. And then he made this contorted face and began to kind of snort like a pig. I said, this is bad. And we tried to cast that thing out, and he resisted. I mean, he clenched, and the veins popped out in his neck, and it was just terrible. But nothing happened. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need you. And he said, this kind goes by prayer and fasting. And so I said, Dave, we're just spinning our wheels. George, if you're listening here, Dave and I, we're going to fast for 3 days. And then we're going to pray for you. Well, at the end of 3 days, Dave called me and said, George is here. Can you come? I said, uh-oh. I said, I've got a bunch of family members over here at my house right now. Somebody had come in from out of town, was visiting, and I couldn't go. I said, but if y'all can't wait, I'll be praying. And so I got out of that one. And sure enough, Dave went ahead, and he got a couple other people to come, and they prayed for George, and those spirits left him. Just like that. The power of releasing our own carnal self by denying ourselves, you know, food, pleasure, whatever, and praying allowed the power of God to flow. You know, if you clean out a pipe, the water will flow. This unit over here, it has the plastic that goes down the side of the building that drains a drain pan. I walked in the other day when it was so cold, and there was a dripping. It had leaked through the ceiling, and there was the drain pan up here behind the speaker that had overflowed because the drain pipe outside on the edge of the building there on the back had frozen. So I turned it off, and I put a big trash can under it. So if it dripped anymore, and I got out the shop back and vacuumed up the water, and then it's dried up now. But, you know, it got stopped up. Well, when your spirit gets busy with other things, it gets muddled a little bit by the cares of this life. You know, John wrote that the cares of this life, the seduction of riches and so on, and the flesh, these things will cause you to not to be able to believe like you need to. It'll choke out the Word of God. Faith only comes by the Word of God. And the Word of God is what gives you the authority to speak and see the power of God released. So as, you know, we fasted, it freed us up from the carnal nature of man. Man, because I tell you what, the first 3 days that you fast, every commercial about candy bars, but you never noticed it before. Every billboard of every restaurant in town. I didn't know Steak and Shake had a billboard there. Wow, there's Burger King. What's Wendy's doing? I never saw these billboards before. When you try to fast, every motivation within you becomes more aware. But also the flesh is trying to feed me. The Spirit's saying, feed me. How do we get fed? We get fed by denying ourselves, not just so we can prove we can skip a meal, but we spend time that we would have spent preparing or eating food to seek God, to wait on His presence, to listen to music, to go into more study. But God will open up that realm to you. And you know what? After 3 days, most of the toxins that you're dealing with, because I mean, it'll come out your pores, your breath is worse than it's ever been, your hair, it's coming out your pores and your scalp and your hair is getting oily. But after 3 days, those toxins pretty well stop and you've been cleansed. That's why, you know, I fasted a whole week, and at the end of that week, I had a vision that year. First time I ever fasted over 5 days. But God gave me a vision. And neat things happen when you fast and deny your flesh. your spirit man becomes so crystal clear. It's like things almost slow down in slow motion for you. And you begin to see things clearly. And that's why over time, I've had many times where we fasted 21 days. And you don't just go water fast for 40 days or something. It'll blow you out of the water. You start with a day. Maybe you start with one meal. Maybe you start with 3 days eventually and do like we did. We were fasting to see this brother set free and to get closer to God so we could hear his voice and we could say the right prayers. We could speak the right words. Mm-hmm. And there's times that 21-day fast, and most of those I did as a Daniel fast where I drank juice, normally vegetable juice, like V8, keeps your electrolytes up and so on. You might do 3 days with water only, but, you know, I always did those as Daniel fastings with just juices. I told you about the 40-day fast when I failed on the 37th day and ate a half a peanut butter sandwich because the kids left the peanut butter out. And I smelled it. My wife smelled it when I got in bed. Said, "Do you smell peanuts?" I was in trouble. I said, "Oh boy, I ate a half a peanut butter sandwich." So I ended up non-fasting an extra meal on the 41st day to make up for it. So I fasted the full 40. But God was good. He moved. In fact, at the end of the 40-day fast, a few weeks after that, or a couple weeks after that, I came to Missouri and preached a revival at New Covenant Church for Brother Jerry Moore. And I mean, the power of God hit that place like you wouldn't believe. And people got touched, healings, you name it. And that's when I started getting that strong burden to come back here to this area because of what I saw God do. But he says, go back to 14 of chapter 17 there. It says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying..." Now, when you fast and pray, and it's your lifestyle in serving Jesus, and you've given him your all, and you're walking with him every day. When Jesus walked the earth, which Pastor Ken quoted, he said, "We'll do the same and even greater things than he did." Well, when he walked the earth, people knew him. They knew what he represented. They knew what happened when he touched them. And they knew whether or not they called him a prophet or whatever, they just knew that he could heal their bodies or set them free. And so when they had come to the multitude, a man came. Point number one, you must go to the multitude if you're going to see something happen. You can't isolate. You can't hide from people. You can't be an effective minister and just stay in your office every day, all day long, and never get out and touch people. That's why I love to go places. I go to Walmart and I can spend 3 hours in there because I bump into people. And they'll say, "Well, keep my mama in prayer. Pray for me and such and such." And, you know, you can minister in Walmart. It's amazing what can happen. Online, I get so many prayer requests, you just wouldn't believe it. Facebook, sometimes I FaceTime with people and pray for them over the internet. It's an amazing thing. You can be in more than one place through technology. How on earth did you ever think when it said in the last days everybody will see? You know, well, I tell you what, if they can't see it with their own eyes, they'll see it on the news. Mm-hmm. They'll see it on the internet. Mm-hmm. News travels lightning fast today from all around the world. Well, they came to him and they knelt before him. And we read 15 and 16. And it says, what'd they say? "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Well, we see that secondly, they will come to your availability. If you show up to the multitudes, they will respond to you when they recognize the power of Jesus Christ in your life. They can sense the power of the Holy Spirit. I've had people ask me, say, are you a Christian? Are you a minister or something? I said, well, yeah. How do you know? Well, I could just feel it. I could feel God when I came around you. I could feel something was different. They know when something's different about somebody. And sometimes they can't feel it because we're so caught up in our carnality that we don't have the spirituality coming out. You light a candle in the house, and I'll tell you what, the whole house will begin to smell like that candle. My wife likes to light up the candles around the house because we got dogs that live there. That's another whole sermon, beware of the dogs. I'll have to preach that another day. But, you know, you got to light your spiritual candle. And it's got to be cleaned out so the nature of Jesus can come to the surface. And people can see it, Nelson. And they can smell it. They can feel it. They can hear something different in your voice. So much so, if you enter a room and there's five or six people and you start talking, they stop and look and say, who's here? And that's happened to me several times. Come in, hey, how's everybody? Everybody stops and looks. I felt like E.F. Hutton sometimes. You know that old commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, they listen. I don't even know if E.F. Hutton's in business anymore. But that was a good commercial. But the third thing is they try disciples, but they see authority. They look for people and disciples. The point I'm making is the disciples couldn't do anything. They said, I came to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything. They needed to step up in the authority. They need to get to the authority, the power. And then we read in verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Boy. And if he would have said it not so nice, it would have really sounded bad. You perverted people. Man, you wouldn't get very far today if you said that to a crowd. You bunch of faithless perverts. What are you doing? You know, it's not talking about perversion sexually. It's talking about people perverting the Word of God and not believing what it says. Right. When Jesus says, I am the healer, amen. Yet people don't ever pray to Jesus when they get sick. Some of them go to church every week, but they don't even say a prayer. That's why this One Amen campaign is going to be an awakening. People got to wake up to the fact that Jesus wants to do something, and he wants to do it through us. And so, what we see in verse 17, he says, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus had extreme confidence. Oh yeah, he's a son of God. Yes, he was born without sin, but he was a carpenter. Probably made a lot of things with stone. They didn't build a lot out of wood in those days. So your carpenters were concrete workers a lot of time. They cut stones and put them in the right places. They worked hard. His hands were rough and calloused. Probably had cuts and scars different places from that such hard work. And, you know, he wasn't even maybe the best looking guy in the world at that point. Who knows? It says he was comely in Scripture. That means he wasn't the most handsome guy on the block. He's just average, regular. The difference was he had the Holy Spirit working in such a limitless way. And when they brought him, he said, bring him to me. The disciples couldn't do anything. Well, come on, bring him to me. We're going to deal with it today. And I'll tell you, number four, religion does not produce power. Just because you're a disciple, in other words, just because you take classes or you sit in a lot of sermons and you hear the word and you know scriptures, doesn't mean you're going to operate in power. Because Jesus made it plain. Remember the text? This kind goes only by prayer and fasting. There are some that are easy. You say the name of Jesus and there they went, like a bird taking off. But some of them dig in, they're like bears. I'm not going anywhere. And you can't make me. But people, number five, are stuck in the religion of unbelief. They just don't believe the Word of God. They think it's fables. We got denominations of religion that try to tell you that they don't believe this Bible is the literal Word of God, but that it is a book of fables and suggestions. Some religions let their top person, like a pope or something, change what they thought God meant. And so they try to stop it. Anyway, we move on a little bit here. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. He was well. No more epilepsy. Probably you never knew epilepsy could be a spirit. There's a lot of things that are spirits. I cast 13 spirits out of Miriam Passmore back in 1996, and one of them was a homosexuality spirit, and she had been a lesbian for 25 years. The kind that wore men's clothing and won awards at the gay parades in Miami. But when I cast that spirit out of her, she was set free. And all of a sudden, she had a desire to be feminine.
Amen.
And she's never returned into that lifestyle ever again. Wow. And she's preached, been on the 700 Club, written a book. A lot of things are spirits. A lot of sicknesses are infirmity. John Ruddick, a friend of mine from Searcy, Arkansas, pastor, he and his wife went to Nigeria on a trip. And then I met him. He went back a second time and with Jan Venter. And that's where I met Jan Venter with Brother Gorman. And we saw miraculous things. His wife had a sickness that the doctors could not find out what was the cause. It was a stomach ailment of some sort. And she would be so deathly ill. She would just throw up and such as that. They couldn't figure out what was causing it. And they went over there to Nigeria. And this little African prophet, about 5'2" or 5'3", who I walked the healing line with and saw miracles, he cast the infirmity out of her and she threw up. And she was never sick again. A lot of things in this life are controlled by spirits. And so when the Bible talks about infirmities, it's not just talking about a little skin rash, although that would irritate people. He's talking about spirits that try to control a person by what you're going through. It could be heart disease. It could be diabetes or different things that the enemy's trying to use to stop you from being a testimony for the glory of God. That's why when we get a word from God, I gave Rick Timbush a word where I saw him slim, wearing a blue blazer, preaching and telling his testimony in a church service before lots of people. He looked 10 years younger. I believe that day will come, and I believe the infirmities are going to have to get out and back up and let him become healed. Because God already paid the price through Jesus and those stripes that Tara prayed about. Too many people are stuck in religious unbelief, so they don't put their faith in God. You know, the Word of God, Mark 11:22 said, have faith in God. You can speak to the mountain, it'll be cast into the sea. If you believe and not doubt, whatever you ask will be granted unto you. Amen? And so we see that number six, prayer power brings forth the cure. Jesus lived a life of prayer and fasting, and the power of God operated out of his spirit man. And he said, bring him here to me. And he simply rebuked the demon and commanded it to leave. And the boy was cured from that day forward. No more to have epilepsy again. No more seizures. That's why, Jenny, I believe for kids to be healed of autism. When we can walk in the kind of power Jesus walked in, I believe autistic kids will be healed. I believe kids with seizures, people with seizures will be healed. I believe that all kinds of stuff that seemingly doesn't get cured by prayer begins to be healed. It's going to be tremendous. I also wrote down verse 19. It said, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He'd given them power in an earlier chapter to go two by two and to take authority, but they couldn't do this one for some reason. This one was a tough one. Why couldn't we cast it out, Lord? We've been doing all this ministry. Have you ever felt that way? You have a prayer line, you pray for a bunch of people, and all of a sudden somebody is there in a wheelchair. For me, it was blind people in Mexico. I go and all of a sudden some blind people show up. One whole family were blind. I didn't even want to see them come to service. I said, Lord, please. I got desperate. I said, Lord, don't let them come to service. They're going to destroy my healing meeting this week. I'm just being honest. You know what? I didn't believe. I could believe for headache. I could believe for stomach trouble. Oh, there's certain things I've prayed for and seen people heal. But seeing those blind people, man. Why, Lord? Then that little girl came. I told the Lord, if you put a blind person in front of me on the way to Mexico on that trip, I'm just not going to come back if they don't get healed. That little girl come up, right eye blind completely, left eye going blind. Little 10-year-old girl, I felt so bad. I had no faith. But I'd emptied myself before I went on that trip, Sister Kim. And I was saying, God, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you to move. So I just did what they do on TV. Put my thumbs right on her eyes. Said, in the name of Jesus, eyes be healed and open. And I felt nothing. But I'd been emptied. I'd fasted. I emptied myself. I went on that trip. It was do or die. And I said, cover your good eye, the one that can see a little bit. And tell me what you see. How many fingers? She said, Spanish, tres, which means three. All of a sudden, I got interested. Okay. How many? Uno. Cinco. Cuatro. Dos. I said, you're saying you can see my hand? She said, yes. She was healed. That was in 2000, 18 years ago. That little girl is about 28 years old today. She runs a Christian radio station in San Luis Potosí. Her father's a pastor of a prominent church now. They weren't even saved. They got saved that night. They had heard there was a miracle, a service, and that some guy from the United States was coming that could pray for people. They came expecting God. I came saying, God, I'm never coming back to this country again if you put a blind person in front of me. But I was desperate for God to move. And he did. That girl is still healed today. Her whole family got saved. Her and her sister served the Lord in the ministry. It's tremendous. That's what the power of God does. He works miracles. And so prayer power brings forth the cure when you have spent time with God, fasting and praying. And when the disciples said, why couldn't we do it, Lord? Well, what I wrote down is religion is clueless. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't spend time with God to where the power of God is germinating inside of you and wants to explode into the realm of faith to do miracles. That brings us to verse 20. So Jesus said to them, well, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, Y'all ever seen a mustard seed? I wish I had one with me today. It is so small. I mean, it's smaller than a Skittles. I mean, it's just a little bitty thing. If you have faith, just a little bit. And you know why I know you have that? Because Jesus gave it to you since you were born. To each man, Paul wrote, was given a measure of faith. A little bit. So that if the word of God is spoken, that little bit of faith can grab it and say, wow, I don't understand why, but I'm going to believe in Jesus. I mean, I've led Muslims to the Lord. I've led people to God that just didn't make sense. You know, I led a cartel member to the Lord down in Mexico, years ago, before he went to prison. Many people, because the word of God spoken with a confidence and a power, they believed because that little bit of faith. He said, hey, if you just take that little bit of faith, he said, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. That means you don't have to be a big-time preacher. You don't have to be a medical doctor. You could be somebody that butchers the English language, but you pray the prayer of power and faith, and God can destroy the strongholds of the enemy.
Amen.
Nothing will be impossible to you. So what? Number 8, faith. A little bit moves mountains, and the impossible becomes possible to you. I said to you.
Amen.
That was weak. Y'all need to help me out or I'm going to preach another hour. And I'm getting too hungry to preach another hour. I'm not fasting yet. I'm going to some next week before I leave. But amen. Yes.
Amen.
Verse 21 again. However, see, understanding the story now. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You can do a lot without praying a lot. You can do a lot without fasting. But there's some kinds that never leave without the power that comes from prayer and fasting. When you do that, man, all hell lets go. See, hell's unleashed against us because the enemy hates you. He wants to destroy you. But hell has to let go when the power of God begins to move. It doesn't want to get in his way. Number 9, prayer and fasting is a combination of power. The power that comes out of prayer and fasting is unbelievable. And then, just 2 more verses, and that's the end of my reading. That's Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And it says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they might appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In other words, take a shower, please. Don't tell everybody, just clean up. In verse 18, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. There it is again, about the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, I didn't tell anybody, number 10, fasting and praying sincerely in your secret place is the key. See, fasting and praying in your secret place. Now, there was times when I would tell the church, you know, hey, we're going to have a time of fasting and prayer. And that's great. And it's good to focus, get focused, especially at the first of the year. But I want to tell you, there's nothing like when you do it, nobody knows it. hey, come and eat lunch. Well, I can't because I'm fasting. I really would like, where are you going? Dexter Barbecue. Oh, dude, why didn't you wait until I was done fasting? You're making a big deal. Don't make no big deal. Just say, hey, I really can't. I've got an appointment today. Yeah, your appointment's with God. You're not lying. I really can't. You know, it's not available for me to meet you today. But I tell you what, how about next week we get together for lunch? When you do that in secret, God moves in the open. Amen?
Amen.
I want to encourage you today to do this. Choose some time of fasting. Choose some time of special prayer in your secret place. Amen. And if you've got stuff you're believing for that's going to take a lot of power, that's a way to enter in and situate yourself. Amen? Won't you stand with me today? Now, when I say amen to this prayer, if you want some prayer, I tell you, Sean, won't you come up, you and Alicia, won't you stand over here? Chris and Jenny, would y'all stand over here? Yeah. Grab a couple of people here. And honey, you can come right here with me. Lift your hands to the Lord today. Father, in Jesus' name, we just take authority because you've given authority to those who believe. You said if we'd fast and pray, the power of God could move. And Lord, there's times that I've been fasting, nobody knew. I'm not bragging. But you said in your word, if we'd do that in secret, you'd reward us in the open. And I ask you to move today on those needs that each one has. And I ask you to use each person that's here today to open up their heart and be used by God, to allow God to be on the throne of their lives and to be useful for you, Lord, to be a tool for your blessing. We trust you for this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you need a touch of God, I ask you to just come up and let one of these pray for you. And I believe that God will use them just like he's using me and my wife. We might even want more. I know. Y'all having your service today, Sister Virginia? Would you and Brother Sherman come up over here also? Philip and Anna, why don't y'all join us over there on that side? Use some couples today. And just go in front of some of these that are up here. You got a need, come on up and let them pray for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn off my mic. So know that you're blessed and not cursed, that you're the head and not the tail. You're the redeemed of the Lord, and you can say so. And as you leave here today, know you have salt with flavor, and that the light in the midst of the darkness can move for your behalf. Amen. Don't forget, Amanda will be in the back at the lobby there about the t-shirts. If you want a t-shirt for $10, she can write your name and size down. Amen. Now, if you need prayer, come on up and let us pray for you.